It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, we'll find out about a unique effort to trace the health of a Wisconsin waterway and project what the future could hold.
First, we're just 2 months away now from the presidential election, and according to the latest polling, things are getting a little tighter here in Wisconsin. What once was a significant lead for Hillary Clinton has now shrunk, although she's still several points in the lead.
That could be good news for Donald Trump, our next guest says. In a recent piece, he says Trump needs a new state in play in order to win in November, and Wisconsin could be where he makes a move. There's been plenty of talk in recent months about Wisconsin's status as a battleground state. So just how important might we be in the coming weeks and months for both candidates?
Jim Newell joins us now. He's a staff writer for Slate.com, where he writes about politics. Jim, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Jim, according to the latest polling, there were a couple of polls showing basically that the distance between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump via the polls has shrunk and it's gotten a lot tighter. So how much ground has Donald Trump made up here in Wisconsin?
Well, if you look at a poll that was taken by the Marquette University Law School poll, which is a pretty well-respected poll, shortly after the conventions in early August, Hillary Clinton was up by 15 percentage points against Donald Trump there. So it looked like it was off the map. Yesterday, the Marquette University Law School released their latest poll, and it had it within, in a two-way race, 3 points, and 5 points in a four-way race. So it looks like it's shrunk about a dozen points, according to that poll. And there's another one released yesterday by Monmouth University that had it at 5 points.
So is that kind of volatility in the polling numbers normal, or does that suggest to you that something big might be shifting here in Wisconsin?
Well, it follows what's going on across the country where the race is tightening a little bit. It's not tightening to the point where they're in a dead heat nationally. We're still trying to see if it's going to stabilize around the 4 to 5 point national lead that we're seeing Clinton at right now. If it doesn't get any tighter, then, you know, obviously this election is going to be a rout. But what we need to look at is if it's going to be a dead heat, if they get tied in national polls, how does that, and state polls usually follow the national movement, then what new states are in play? And it looks like Wisconsin is a state where Donald Trump is performing now at or about his national average.
When you look at the numbers shifting like that, is there any sort of easy explanation, any narrative about why the numbers have changed like that?
Well, I mean, you tend to get a big bounce out of your convention. Trump got a bounce out of the Republican convention, but then the week later, there's a Democratic convention, and Clinton got an even bigger bounce. So you expect that bounce to fade a little bit. And then after the Democratic convention, too, Trump had a couple of pretty bad weeks where he was making a regular series of gaffes. He seems like he stopped that a little bit. He's been a little more controlled. He has a new campaign manager. So he's coming down from his worst period in the race. Now it's just a matter of seeing if he can begin to convert the swing voters who are still really not set on him.
Now, not too long ago, when we were talking polling, and Wisconsin didn't look like it was necessarily in play for Donald Trump. It looks like this would have been a state that Hillary Clinton could have won pretty handily. So now, does it look to you as though Wisconsin is in play and could be a bona fide battleground state?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if we're looking at the electoral map, Trump has a pretty narrow path. And the problem he's had before is, if you take every state that Mitt Romney won in 2012, which is 206 electoral votes, if he were to hold all of those, which is hard enough, he would then have to add Florida, Ohio, Iowa, and Nevada, which are his next best states to poach. But that would only get him to 265 electoral votes. He'd need 270 to win. So then it's a matter of where does he get the possible state to put him over the top. A lot of people have been looking at Pennsylvania because they've had good Republican registration numbers there. And also it's a state with a lot of white working class voters in the western part of the state. But Pennsylvania has really not been that close in the polling. In fact, Trump is doing usually a couple points worse than his national average there. So then you have to find another state. And if Wisconsin is moving back and is competitive, that could be the electoral votes you need to jump him over 270. So it's always been one of these states that's potentially competitive, but it seems like this week it's jumping back into the immediately competitive column.
And Donald Trump has been in Wisconsin quite a bit. I think I don't have numbers in front of me, but I think more than Hillary Clinton has been in here. So based on what you're seeing, are you seeing Donald Trump maybe picking up on exactly what you just said, that electoral calculus, and saying, hey, I got to be in Wisconsin?
I think so. And I think, you know, that may have helped him move. And, you know, we'll probably see Hillary Clinton going there more, Tim Kaine going there more, a lot more Democratic activity there. Because it's, you know, this looks like now it's becoming one of the, you know, potential tipping point states.
We're talking with Jim Newell right now, who writes politics in Slate.com. And he's with us right now talking about Donald Trump's potential possibly to win Wisconsin in November, at least to put Wisconsin back into play. And if you look back into the primary, Jim, it didn't seem like this was necessarily going to be a state that would hold for Donald Trump, especially given the strong presence of the Never Trump movement in Wisconsin. So does this surprise you at all?
Well, it does surprise me a little bit, but I think you're seeing, remember, Donald Trump got trounced in the Wisconsin primary. It was probably the lowest point, but then the primary schedule moved back to the Northeast where he was strong, so he was able to recover. And also Hillary Clinton lost to Bernie Sanders here by a pretty substantial amount. If you look at the Marquette poll from yesterday, you're seeing that among Republicans, Donald Trump has 83% of Republicans in the state in line with him. Hillary Clinton has 89% of Democrats. Usually those numbers are going to be in the 90s for the candidate who wins. So you have a lot of undecided voters in Wisconsin. In a four-way race in the Marquette poll, it was only something like 37-32 when you include the minor party candidates. So there's a lot of indecision there, and it's going to be hard to determine how a lot of these races finally shake out until people make up their minds, which is, you know, people are going to wait to see the debates. They'll just, you know, watch as the election goes on more after Labor Day. So it's, you know, it's not surprising that there are a lot of undecided voters there in both parties.
Right. Can we talk a little more about undecided? You mentioned people maybe wanting to see the debates, wanting to see a little bit more of election politics played out. But beyond that, do you know anything about what sorts of things go through the minds of undecided that they weigh to help them ultimately to make that decision?
You know, for people I've talked to, it's really just a matter of, both of these candidates are so unpopular. Their favorability ratings are just both at prehistoric lows for major party nominees. And what's been helping Clinton is that Trump has always been a little bit worse. So I think you're seeing a lot of people right now who just, the thought of having to vote for either one is really not appetizing to them right now. But as the election gets nearer and if states are really close, you'll probably see people decide to just hold their nose and pull the lever for, you know, whoever they're usually aligned with, whichever party they usually vote for.
So you're saying that's more likely a scenario that they just decide to vote for the candidate that they feel the least revulsion for instead of just abstaining totally?
Well, I mean, there may be some people who abstain. It just depends. This is something where it can make a big difference. If say Donald Trump ends up with 90% of Republicans instead of 95%, I mean, that could be the decider in the election. I think you'll see some people abstain entirely or just write in someone, maybe do a protest vote to a third party candidate. But a lot of people right now who are saying they're undecided and say they'll never vote for either, it's usually the case that down the stretch, at least a pretty sizable number of them will end up going for a major party candidate.
And Jim, we've just got 30 seconds left here. What are you going to be watching for to decide if Wisconsin is going to matter to Donald Trump?
Well, I guess we're going to see if the polling continues to stay, you know, at where it is now, or if it gets even better for Trump. I'm also going to look to see, you know, what kind of advertising purchases they make there for the airwaves. Donald Trump is just starting to make ad buys, so we'll see how much he devotes to Wisconsin. Those sorts of things, yeah.
Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
That was Jim Newell, who writes about politics for Slate.com. He joined us there to talk about Donald Trump's potential to win Wisconsin in November.